Okay, during the other Mishmas of the year, I've spoken Divrei Halacha. Since we end with Divrei Agada, in any way it's appropriate for the last Mishmar of the season, I'd like to share with you Reb Chaim Shmulevitz's Musar, his insight into the Gemara. The Gemara says, Yesh kaina olam b'shah achas. A person can be kaina olam haba in one moment. A shah means a moment. And there are two Gemaras in Shas that say this, and they're both here, one on Daf Yud Zayin and one on Daf Yud Ches. So Daf Yud Zayin is the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Dardoi, who did Averis and was moved by an incident and did such tshuva that he was kind of Olam Haba in one moment. And on Yud Ches Amud Aleph we have the story, a second story of Rabbi Hananya ben Tradin's death and how this Katzontiri who helped him and then died was also Mezuman L'chaya Olam Haba. Chaim Shmulevitz writes very powerful words about the Gemara, that Yesh Kaina Olam B'Sha Achas. Chaim Shmulevitz writes, and we'll explain it, but he writes that every person has his Sha Achas. There's nobody who doesn't have a Sha Achas. It's just Yesh Kaina Olam B'Sha Achas. Some people take seize the moment. Yesh L'chol Echad Ve'Echad Harbe Shois Ke'elu. Every person's life has many such moments. Avol Koina Elamei B'Shoachas Zu Yesh Rak Echad Be'Elef. And he explains what the idea of Yesh Koina Elamei B'Shoachas is. He says that there are moments in a person's life when he experiences certain things or he's inspired to certain things that he seizes the moment and he makes something of it. He takes his moment of inspiration and he makes something of it, and it changes his life for the rest of his life. As his life goes on, things aren't the same. Usually people are moved, they're inspired, and then they go out and they go back to their old habits. But for someone to seize the moment and be inspired by it in a way that will change his life, that's rare. That's Yesh Kaina Olam B'Shoachas. He brings a nice, beautiful idea. As you know, the idea of the rules of dealing with avodim, with servants, with slaves, is very prominent in the Torah. In the beginning of Mishpatim, right? We have Mount Torah. Ve'elam Mishpatim, Ma'elum Sinai, Ve'elum Mishinai. We go jump to talking about avodim, about freeing slaves. That's the most important Mishpat. You know, Mishpatim talks about borrowing money and paying your money back and being mazik people and paying for being mazik and being a shomer. Like, I would think that if Elam Mishpat in Sinai, it would talk about things that are much more practical. It jumps right into talking about avodim. Not only that, but in Parshas Va'era, there's a pasuk with a parasha before it and afterwards, and it's a very strange looking pasuk. It doesn't seem to fit into anything. Now, the pasuk there says, "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe v'al Aaron, vayitzave imel b'nei Yisrael, v'aparech melech Mitzrayim, v'leitzis v'Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim." To pay, it says, "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe v'al Aaron," to talk to Klal Yisrael and Paroi, that the Jews should leave Egypt. Then there's another pay, or samach. And that's the whole thing. Everything's talking about that. It's very hard to know what's that referring to. So Chaim Shmulevitz brings from the Yerushalmi that he was mitzaveh them the parasha of Shiluach Avodim. This is Ve'era, before the Ten Makis. Here Moshe Rabbeinu was coming to Klal Yisrael. Hello, here I am, we're going to leave Mitzrayim, and if you own slaves, you have to send them out after 6 years or at Yovel. Who's talking about owning slaves? Who's talking they didn't get, they didn't know Basar B'Cholov yet, they didn't know Shmir Shabbos yet, nothing. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, hello, v'yitzavim el b'nei Yisrael, zu shiluach avodim. So Chaim Shmulevitz says it's a very very strange thing to come along with as the hello to Klal Yisrael, that there's a parsha of shiluach avodim. He brings also later in Yirmiyah, we find such a thing that Yirmiyah gives them musa specifically about shiluach avodim, which doesn't seem to stick out as the chait of that generation.
So okay,
Sort of what he says. What he says is that Moshe Rabbeinu came to Klal Yisrael and he told them that this is what Klal Yisrael has to know. Whenever you experience something, you have to take that moment and learn from it. Right now you're Avadim. You know what it feels like, the idea of Shiluach Avadim. This is a moment. Take this moment and learn from your experience, and that has to become part of your mentality, part of the way you think. It's not Shiluach Avadim, one of the Tayag Mitzvahs. It's a Holach Yelach in life. It's an approach to life that when things come up and a person is inspired to something, that he has to take that inspiration, grab it, and hold on to it. In Rav Huttner's letters, every time I open the Sefer of letters from him, every time I find like another treasure, there's one letter there, I think it's Kuf Samach or Kuf Samach Aleph. It's a letter which is written, he describes how he had a friend who died. And the way he describes it in Yiddish, in the bottom, he was sick for 2 months and then died in his hands, in his arms. So Rav Huttner writes there in a very powerful lashon, he writes, my life has two parts to it. It has the part until the day he died, and then the part for when he died and the rest of my life. In other words, something happened, something inspired him, it moved him, and he said, this changes from now and on. We're really not that way. At 9/11, everyone said, the world will never be the same. Of course the world is the same. Everything went back to exactly the way it was before 9/11, after 9/11. I mean, nothing much changed, except that it's hard to remember that we used to get on airplanes like normal people. Yeah, we used to walk with our family all the way up to the gate and get on an airplane, so that changed. But as far as people, you know, right after 9/11, there was no sports, because nobody, who's going to watch such narish things like sports and such a silly thing. So for about 2 weeks, it's hard to imagine, right? There were no baseball games, no basketball games, no nothing. They called off all the games. And slowly, everything went back to normal. Because it's very hard to seize a moment to be inspired. Yesh kainai lamai b'shah achas. Rechaim Shmuel Levitz's vart, Rebbe cried, Rebbe bacha. Sounds like Rebbe was jealous. Yesh kainai lamai b'shah achas. I didn't have the opportunity. He says, no. It means I also have the opportunity, but I have to be able to grab that moment, that opportunity, and make something of it. Very often, someone gives a drasha, and you hear an idea or a concept, and you're very moved to do it. And then the drush is over, and you go home, and you move on. The idea of this idea that a person should seize the moment. He brings in the middle column here a mahalach, an approach. The Gemara says he brings that Palti ben Laish. Palti ben Laish is a man who would have been the king's son-in-law. When Shaul HaMelech promised, whoever kills Goliath gets my daughter, then David HaMelech killed Goliath. So David was eicher to be Shaul's son-in-law. Shaul paskin that David's not married to. He paskin the Makadish B'milva Pruta and the Mekudeshes, whatever the lumdis was. Shaul said it's not a kedushin. David said it is a kedushin. Lamai said it was a kedushin. But Shaul, in his fit of rage against David, or whatever disease the pasuk says he had, he said no. So he took Michal bas Shaul, he took his daughter, and he said, David ran away, David ran for his life, and he took Michal and he said, Palti ben Laish, here, you're married to her. Now, you don't get a choice when the king says you're married to her. So Palti and Michal lived for two years as if they're husband and wife. Shaul said, your husband and wife. So Palti was very moved at first, he was horrified by what happened. So the Gemara says an expression that Toikfei Shal Boyaz and Vasanusei Shal Palti. What Boyaz refrained with Rus that night is nothing compared to Palti. Because Palti ben Laish was for an extended period. He lived as husband and wife, he didn't touch her. So the Gemara says, what did he do? He was moved. He was afraid it's going to wear off. He has a shock as he moved. He's afraid it will wear off. So he took a sword. He took a sword into the bedroom. Between his bed and her bed, he stuck a sword into the ground. He says, if I touch her, you duck it b'cherev. I don't know what he did when his in-laws came, how he explained it. what the sword was doing there, but that sword was there. So Chaim said, why was there a sword there? What does that do? Because he had the inspiration for a moment, he was inspired by it, it's going to wear off. By sticking the sword between their beds, it concretized, it gave substance to the feeling that the shachas shouldn't go away. The shachas of inspiration should stay. So that he explains is the musr of this idea. The musr of a person being inspired to do something different, sticking with it. Being inspired that avdus is terrible and sticking with the rules of shiluach avodim. Being inspired, as Blazim and Radaya was, to be chayz b'tshuva, and being able to stick with it. This was said after the war, after the 67 war. He writes, we're all inspired by the war, but it's just wearing off, and we have to make something stay with it. This is the idea that he says, and it's certainly an idea for, I don't know how many people there are in Flatbush, but a lot of people heard about him, Mishmar. And, the 100 or so people who've been coming over the year are the ones who actually stuck with it. And we actually had a Mishmar here, and occasionally people come who are never here, and they stand in the hallway and they say, except in yeshiva, they never hear such a kol Torah coming out of a Beis Medrash. So apparently the Shachas was available to many people, but those of you who are here tonight, and those of you who went to the country, some are up in the country tonight, Thursday night, in ShopRite, all having a late night mishmar. But what?
The minion
on the highway at this hour. But anyway, wherever the mishmar is, I think they're very. It's a very moving thing. I'd like to add in the kuda from the parasha. Gedaliah Shor says, I think it's in the Gedaliah on the Parshas Parah. He says about Parshas Chukas. He says the yisoid of Tumah and Tahara, the yisoid of Tahara is Chiyus. It's being alive. The yisoid of Tumah is Nisa. The Aviyah Vaisa Tumah is a dead body. He explains really that every type of Tumah is somehow related to Nisa, and Tahara is Chiyus. So he brings the Chinuch who says that when you go into the mikveh, you're surrounded by water, it's like the baby in the mother's womb again. And you come out, it's a new eschatzus, a new beginning, a new birth, so to speak, a very chadasha. The whole yisoid of Tahara is that chiyus, that being able to start again with a haschalah all over again. He brings a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says that I think it was Rav Hananya went to Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim. He visited the Jewish community in Mitzrayim, and they had a public question and answer session. The Gemara says, he came from out of town, so he got up and Hakel made flyers, and they asked him questions. So Gemara says they asked him shloisha shailas shel shtus. The Gemara says three shailas were silly questions. So one of the shailas was, when the mesim get up at Chias HaMesim, how are we going to be mitar them? A tame mace is tar with paraduma. But a mace himself, how you matar the mace himself when he wakes up? So Gemara says, they asked the Narish a question, the Shal Shal Shtus. So you know the Gemara, it doesn't sound like such a shtus, no? It's a good question. When the mace get up, how do they become, they're going to be mesim? So Rabbi Yavai Satuma. Huh? A great question, no? So why is it a silly question? So if Shor writes, because the Aviyah voice of Tahara, the Aviyah voice of Tum is death. The Aviyah voice of Tahara is Chivas, is coming alive. Coming alive is the biggest mitar. He says it's a halacha. It's not even a gadita. It's a halacha. There's a halacha that if you have an orange, that's Tameh. It's Tameh. It can be mitar. Even if you put it in a mikveh, food doesn't become tar in a mikveh. So you have an orange, that's Tameh. If you take the seed of the orange and you plant it in the ground, it grows a new tree. It's tar. Why is it tar? It's all tame. It comes from a seed that's tame. So he says, because the biggest mitahir is chiyus. When you take something, you plant it, and you give it a new chiyus, that's the biggest mitahir, is a dover, something that comes alive. Coming alive, chiyus is the biggest mitahir. It's fascinating. Ramesh has a tshuva. about a kayin la'aleinu who severed a finger, and they rush him to the hospital to reattach the finger. So someone asked Rav Moshe, very hard shaila, how are you allowed to reattach the finger to a kayin? A kayin is not allowed to be metama to an aver that's attached to a chai, a finger is an aver, is metame. So what's the heta to reattach the finger to the kayin? He's touching the detached finger, which you're not allowed to touch. That's Rav Moshe shaila was asked. So Rav Moshe, in his technical way of looking at him like a Baal Halacha, says, no problem. Where's he touching the finger? Right? He has Nebuch a stub where the finger used to be, and they're reattaching it. The Halacha is, the only thing that's metame is the external part of an Aver. Beis Hastorim is not metame. The part of the finger that it's touching, whatever's touching, is hidden. So the hidden part, it's not metame, because they take the finger, they attach it to where it was. What's touching is starim, is a base of starim, it's not metame. That's where Moshe is true. So you'll ask, okay, very good, they can reattach it. But later, as he touches his own finger, like he's still touching his finger, and the outside also, as he touches his finger. But the answer is, there's takara halacha. If it chiyus is davia vais hatara, once the finger comes alive again, if it lives, so then of course it's not metame. You can shake his hand. We should have asked, if you have Yisrael, who has a finger reattached, could he shake the hand of a kohen? But the tahara, the aviyah v'isatara, is the chiyus. The chiyus, the being alive in something, being aware in something, that's the biggest metame. That's Rav Shor's Yisrael. It's a beautiful shtickle there. But that idea is this idea of yeshkan elame b'shah achas, certain level of chiyus, of being alive, being attentive, of... It's not to talk about people staying up till almost midnight in the Beis Medrash talking about being alive and chiyus, but you know, we push and we try, and that's a very appropriate Gemara with which to end Yesh Kana Elamei B'Sha'achas. And I hope that it's Hashem, we have a Ben Hazmanin. Rather, I was last night at a chasna of two people who sit here every night, and they said they're made up, they're going to the same bungalow colony, they're chazering the whole 17 blad over the summer. We'll see if they do it, but at least Thursday nights. And I hope, Yitz Hashem, the Mishra will resume when everyone comes back. The Thursday night after everyone comes home from camp, whenever that is, I think it's the second week of Elul, we'll resume the Mishra, and I hope everybody will come back. If everybody will just bring one new person, we'll go from 100 people to 200 people, that'll really be something. So Yitz Hashem, we're looking forward to Yitz Hashem. Gesundheit to everybody.